not one to preach on Psalms very fast. I should be, but I'm not. But this here message this morning, it started out by your song. And it was mentioned to me that it was inspired out of the Psalm chapter 91. And when I got into the office the following day and started searching for what I wanted to preach on this coming Sunday, this Psalm 91 just kept popping up. And finally I just led the Holy Spirit's directions, and here we are this morning. So the title here this morning is, How Safe Am I? There's a story about someone who had a security system. And he knew it worked on his doors because he tripped the alarm once by accident. But he also knew that he could plug in a code to this alarm system, and silently it would bring the emergency people to his door. And he often was tempted to want to try that. But he just never dared because he didn't want to get in trouble. He just needed to trust and believe. Sometimes we can feel the same way when we read Psalm 91. When we break it down, we find that the psalmist is speaking to us and he's giving us 4 provisions, 3 gains, and 8 promises in a few short verses, smack dab in the middle of God's word. So the first provision is in verse 3. And it says, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Now, there's a few of us here that used to do a lot of trapping. Carl, Jack, myself, I'm sure there's a few others. We know what a snare is. It's one of the most effective tools the trapper has in gathering their game. And that's exactly what it is. It's a trap. And it symbolizes danger. It means that God gives safety from the trap that the devil lays out for us. In the Lord's Prayer, we ask God to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It is with this that the provision that allows us to ask these things with confidence. Our second provision this morning is God provides us shelter. In the first part of verse 4, it says, he will cover you with the feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. You know, bird experts say that this is really common, that spreading their wings is very common, and we have all seen these images, either in pictures or TV or in school or wherever it is in our path. And when the predator approaches, the bird instinctively spreads its wings. And then you see all the little babies just scurrying underneath the mother's wings. It's their shelter. This image is used throughout the Bible. Let me give you some examples from Scripture. And included, you'll find in the Bible a list. And there's really a lot of them. And I just asked Christy to put them in the Bible. So through your devotions in this coming week, you can refer to these Scriptures. And it just enhances what we're talking about here this morning. And I'll point out to you, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, it says, he was like an eagle hovering over its nest, overshadowing its young, then spreading its wings, lifting them into the air, teaching them to fly. In Psalm chapter 36, it says, how priceless is your unfailing love. Oh God, people take refuge in the shadow of your wings. In Psalm chapter 57, it says, have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Even Jesus used the image in Matthew chapter 23. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks underneath her wings. And it goes on and on and on. The third provision is, he is our shield. In the latter part of verse 4, it says, his faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. The psalmist knew that God is faithful. He knew that God was faithful to all that he created. The scripture references to this is, in Psalm chapter 36, your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. In Psalm 119, it says, your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. Your faithfulness extends to every generation, as enduring as the earth you created. In Lamentations chapter 3, it says, I will never forget this awful time. As I grieve over my loss, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin to refresh us each morning. I bring your attention to number 139 in the hymnal, verse 1. Do we have that on the screen? Yeah, let's sing just the first verse of this great song. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassion, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, the hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Faithfulness. The fourth provision is God provides sacred guardians. Read verse 11 and 12. It says, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. In Hebrews, the first chapter, verses 4, it says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Here's what the Life Application says about angels. Angels are God's messengers, spiritual beings created by God and under his authority. They have several functions: serving believers, protecting the helpless, proclaiming God's message, and executing God's judgment. God sends his angels to keep us safe. And he sends his angels to keep us on track. In other words, you could put it this way. God has provided us with a designated driver. to drive us, to escort us home. So now there are three gains the psalmist shows us. The first gain is his freedom from fear, verses 5 and 6. It says, "You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday." So I ask you, since God provides us security, what is there to fear? It works like this. By entrusting ourselves to His protection and pledging our daily devotion to Him, we will be kept safe. The second gain is His freedom from evil, verses 7 and 8. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Evil will not take over our lives. And evil will not control because of God's security, because of God's freedom from evil. The third gain is His freedom from harm and disaster. Verses 9 and 10, it says, "If you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent." So, God gives us safety. He provides us shelter. He is a shield and a sacred guardian. So we are free from fear, we are free from evil, we are free from harm, and we are free from disaster. So in verse 14 through 16, the psalmist restates God's covenant with us. It says, "Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." That's a covenant that God gives us that the psalmist pointed out to us. Well, I also said there were eight promises. Let's just briefly look at them real quick. God will rescue us. He promises to protect us. He promises to answer our prayers. He says He will be with us. He promises to deliver us, to honor us, to satisfy us. And here's the frosting on the cake. God will show us our salvation. Yeah. Is this wonderful or not? Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Yeah. Let me ask you something. Do you believe? Oh, no. Do you really believe? Okay. So you never fear or worry because we believe. Well, what about the Christian who died at a young age? What about the Christian that was killed by a drunk driver? How about the one that were murdered because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time? How about the Christian who was killed because he believed in Jesus? We see that a lot today, don't we? Throughout the world. What about those who have children who have malformations or diseases or have been molested? How about those that healing prayers but don't see any healing? How about Christians with broken marriages? How about cancer patients? How can we believe the psalmist? How can we make sense of what we know we should believe? The key lies in the place of saints of security. Read verses 1 and 2 again with me. It says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. The security here, and the key word in them two verses, is dwells. Well, what does dwell mean? Well, dwell is a verb that means to remain, or to stay, or to tarry, or to endure. It suggests continuance and permanence. You see, God's security is for the dwellers, not the visitors. Many run to shelter in times of trouble or need or fear, but do not stay there. We talked here a few weeks ago about the church attendance the first Sunday after 9/11. All-time record. Well, it's not an all-time record anymore. They visited the security of God, but they did not dwell there. They dwell somewhere else. Our place of security comes from dwelling in the shelter and the love of God. It all hinges on trusting God. It is not an insurance policy against misfortune or trials. But why then the glorious promise of the Psalms? The psalmist is not asking us to understand, but he's asking us to trust. The psalmist is inviting us to not worry. Dr. Cornelius Plantinga, was the president of Calvin Seminary, said it this way. No final evil can get to us because those wings have never folded. They are spread out to be wounded for our transgressions and bruised by our iniquities. And when the feathers quit flying, we peep out and discover that we have been in the only place that was not leveled. That's what the psalmist is telling us. Let me read to you a conversation with God. God, can I ask you something? Sure. Promise you won't get mad? I promise. Why did you let so much stuff happen to me today? Well, what do you mean? Well, I woke up late. Yeah. My car took forever to start. Okay. At lunch, they made my sandwich wrong and I had to wait. On the way home, my phone went dead just as I picked up a call. All right. And to top it all off, when I got home, I just wanted to soak my feet in my foot massager and relax. But it wouldn't work. Nothing went right today. Why did you do that? Well, let me see. The death angel was at your bed this morning, and I had to send one of the other angels to battle him for your life. I let you sleep through that. Oh. I didn't let your car start because there was a drunk driver on our right that might have hit you if you were on the road. Oh. The first person who made your sandwich today was sick, and I didn't want you to catch what they have. I knew you couldn't afford to miss work. Oh. Your phone went dead because the person that was calling was going to give a false witness about what you said on that call. So I didn't even let you talk to them so you would be covered. I see, God. Oh, and that foot massager. It had a short that was going to throw out all the power in your house tonight. I didn't think you wanted to be in the dark. I'm sorry, God. Don't be sorry. Just learn to trust me in all things, the good and the bad. I will trust you, God. And don't doubt that my plan for your day is always better than your plan. I won't, God. And let me just tell you, God, thank you for everything today. You're welcome, child. It was just another day being your God, and I love looking after my children. Sound familiar? Pretty cute, isn't it? But it's more true than cute. So often we just don't give God the credit. We are so prone to just see it our way. And the psalmist here reminds us of all of these things. Security. Safety. Shelter. A shield. And even a sacred guardian. But none of this happens only if we dwell in the shelter of the Most High. And all of God's children said,
Amen. Amen.